Thanks for joining me. Great for me to have your company. What a delight it was for me to have that chat with Margaret. Quite a few coming through on the speckled text about Margaret. Here on Margaret Duane. Get her up on the podium with the PM, Tony. Margaret's wonderful. The more we hear of her on SEN, the better. Let's hope Patrick Dangerfield was listening. Cameron from Sydney. Can you make Margaret's call downloadable or on the homepage? My kids need to hear her story when I get home from work today. Love on the bench every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. And if you want more of Margaret, she does join Hutchie and Pickers on the bench essentially every Saturday morning. She's the light at the end of the tunnel that I've been talking about quite a few times in many respects for people in terms of their perspective on life. Another one here was walking down the street whilst listening to Margaret, had to stop and find a seat to take it all in, still wiping away the tears. Dean from Narre Warren. I'm with you, Dean. I'm still wiping them from my face. Sam and Keylor Downs. Welcome, Sam.
Good on you, Dwayne. Happy Thursday to you, mate.
To you.
Good on you, mate. Look, I've got an idea that maybe a television network can take up. Seeming there's no Auskick, why can't they produce a show for the young kids in regards on how you hold the football, how to kick the football, get players, and not only on football skills, but also life skills, showing respect, honesty, all those things.
I'm in at Fox tomorrow, Sam. This is going to be a bit of a think tank at Fox as to what happens at Fox in the next couple of months. Obviously, they've put together Fox Footy Live, which is something that I was part of yesterday, which is a great initiative. And we're doing some live calls of old games tonight. Collingwood Richmond and our Collingwood Richmond game. I'm told tonight which Essendon Sydney game I'll be doing tomorrow night. So I can't wait to get told what I'm doing so I can actually get my head around who's going to be playing in it. So, yeah, we're going to be having a bit of fun on Fox, and that's not a bad idea, Sam, as well. I'll throw that one at them. Appreciate your call. Let's head to a man who's in isolation right now, and then I'll head back to your calls and your texts and talk about Greyhound Racing, which is still going. Alan Clayton's about to join me. Matty, welcome to you. Great to have you on.
Likewise, Dwayne, and I know you're getting lots of comments about Margaret, and I want to add to it. Just exceptional. My wife never listens to SEN. She's not all that interested in sport, but I'll be downloading the podcast to make sure that she gets the opportunity to listen to Margaret. And some of the stuff that we hear from her on Off the Bench and so on, it's absolutely hilarious. And her take on sport is brilliant, but her take on life and that perspective is even better. Coming up to Christmas, one of the guys I played tennis with, he made a decision to give his mum the best present I've ever heard of. He asked me to interview his grandfather, who's 87 years of age, to do a podcast with the granddad so as that he could give that to his mum to tell granddad's life story. That's something that listening to Margaret, you know, we've all got that granddad or that grandma or that parent or somebody that we can share that story with. And it doesn't have to be on SEN to be wonderful. It can be something that you can share with your grandkids. My kids at the moment, they're a little bit too young, they're 8 and 10, to really appreciate their granddad, who's 82 years of age, and they never got to meet my mum. I owe it to them to sit down with my dad and tell dad's story, and get dad's story out, and just share that amongst my family as well. And listening to Margaret, it made me think of those bits of wisdom that there's lots of people with more experience in life than you and I that we overlook and we forget about it, and Margaret reminds us of it.
Yeah, absolutely spot on. I mentioned my grandmother, but she had to get by on a lettuce a day. You know, my mother doesn't want to know those stories because, and I'm hoping I'm speaking out of school, you know, and my mum probably doesn't want me saying stuff like this, but, you know, my mother was born during those times over in Germany through something that obviously happened that shouldn't have happened at the time, and she doesn't want to hear what happened at that time. But I did want to hear the stories, and, yeah, it's to hear Margaret normally on off the bench with her sense of humour is phenomenal, but to hear her giving us a stark reminder of reality was the best thing that I've ever heard, and I've been in radio for a long, long time.
Yeah, Matty, it was brilliant.
Yeah, so, the tours...
The sport's a good distraction, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I reckon the tour's still going to go ahead, Matty, I'm hearing.
I couldn't believe it. I read it via a French newspaper this morning that the French Minister for Sport is still making the statement that it might be a stripped-down Tour de France, but they're still looking at having a Tour de France happen. With no spectators by the side of the road, and they're looking at how they can possibly make a reduced Tour de France happen. When we saw that or heard that the IOC made the announcement that the Olympic Games would be postponed by a year, I thought it would only be a foregone conclusion that the Tour de France will be cancelled, as most other major bike races will be as well. As you and I chatted, I think on Wednesday it might have been, or on Tuesday, and I spoke about a bike race goes from town to town to town. It's the sport that can transport a virus more than any other. The fact that they're still looking at the prospect of getting the Tour de France off the ground really surprises me. I think there's bigger things that the French government need to be looking at the moment.
Does it sound way too optimistic, or does it give you hope that it is a realistic, optimistic view?
Well, I'd love for it to happen, because if we do get sport back on, that means that we're potentially getting back up on top of the problem of COVID-19. So, you know, sport can be that yardstick of we're making that progress on the health front, and hopefully if we're in a position to get sport back onto the playing field, maybe that's an indication that we're in a position to get the economy back up and running again. And there are a lot of people that find themselves in an economic position now that they never thought they would. 5 minutes ago, before I got on this phone call to you, Dwayne, I got a text message on WhatsApp group from my five closest mates. One of them is a pilot. He's a captain. He's just been told that there's no more work. Now, he was a guy that you would expect. He's a captain. He flies a commercial airline. He would never expect it to have been out of work. He now finds himself in a unique position without an income. He's got a wife and two kids. His wife fortunately works, and he's just in the middle of rebuilding his house. So he's got a bigger mortgage than perhaps you would anticipate to have if you're just losing your job. So there's a whole bunch of people in a position that they never expected to be in. It's a really, really challenging time.
Exactly. I've got one in the next room. My daughter's trained to be a pilot, just finished her training, and there's now no job to go to. So
yeah,
the silver lining in that is I get to spend a lot more time with my daughter, who is delightful company. So I'm a winner out of it.
Are you doing that? Are you doing that on the treadmill, though? I saw you on the treadmill hosting the radio show.
No, I'll be on the treadmill every day. That's my piece of sanity, putting some sport on, whether it's live or not live as it is right now. And that's where I've been doing most of my watching of you in years gone by, Matty. I might not watch you live. Sometimes I do on the treadmill at 1 in the morning, watch you live. Yeah. But it's quite often I'll wake up at 9 in the morning having taped it, and I'll watch the last hour of the tour stage as live. And I get as excited in that last hour, because you give me an hour on the treadmill with that last hour of the stage of the tour. So that's how much you've been getting me exercised and fit on that treadmill. Hey, Margaret's taken a bit of our time, Matty, but I'm sure you don't mind. I'll talk to you tomorrow, if that's okay.
Good one. Yeah, excellent. Thanks, Dwayne. All the best, everyone.
Matty Keenan, Isolation Diary Day 8. We'll have a chat to him as well tomorrow, the voice of cycling in our world. A quick break shortly, but Sam Edmonds on the line, SEN Chief Reporter. Welcome to you, Sam.
Oh, g'day again, Dwayne. Good to be with you.
What do you got for us as the latest? Anything happened in the world whilst I've been isolated in this little home studio talking to Margaret?
Oh, it has, sadly, and it all centres on the fallout of the coronavirus and, I guess, the financial fallout that's hitting clubs right between the eyes across the country at the moment, Dwayne. The latest is that Carlton has parted ways with its VFL coach, Josh Fraser. The Blues today making the difficult call to terminate Fraser's contract. And the Blues now, as we speak, Dwayne, in meetings over the future of their wider involvement in the Northern Blues program going forward, really, is that, as I say, the financial reality hits home for them and many other clubs across the comp. You know, Josh Fraser, a couple of hundred games, Collingwood, Gold Coast, former number one draft pick as well. He took the reins at the Northern Blues in 2015 and obviously had done nothing wrong, was set to coach this year, but as we know, that won't be happening, and the greater VFL season, of course, in jeopardy, all because of the coronavirus.
Great to hear your news breaking every day, Sam. It's been a joy for me to have you part of my program, and I can't wait to hear you on breakfast tomorrow. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Sam Edmund, SEN Chief Reporter. The Greyhounds, the dogs are still racing. How long for? How are they doing it? Alan Clayton from Greyhound Racing Victoria to tell us how and how long after the break.